Did you know we've moved?
Move it! I like to move it, move it.
Our new home at TrendingTopicsNetwork.com, bringing you new content like Fight Show Live and the Spanish Announce Table, and the same shows that you come to enjoy like Old School at the Movies, Pending Mobile Technology, and The Real News. Make sure you check us out every week, TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
Daniel Palmer, San Antonio, Texas.
Matt Damon!
Stop all the downloading!
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 56 for October 10th, 2013. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like The Spanish Announce Table, Trending Mobile Technology, and The Real News. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before you get into the panel for this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is a site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, don't be shy. oldschoolmovies2@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at oldmovies.net. That's oldmovies.net. So without further ado, let's introduce our amazing panel for this week. We've got our Iron Man, Mr. Heavyset.
Alonzi, Alonzo.
We got Kebo Trek.
Yo, yo.
We've got Will.
Hey, hey.
And we've got Carp.
What up?
What up, Carp? Atlanta sucks.
Wah, wah.
Let's get into the news.
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News. Back to you, fuckers.
Ron Burgundy sells cars for Anchorman 2. The legend continues. Tarantino's top 10 films of 2013. William Dafoe back in Finding Dorian says it's better than the first. We got a first full-length trailer for I, Frankenstein with Aaron Eckhart. Another trailer for you. This is a documentary called The Armstrong Lie. Say what? Jackson's Hobbit trilogy has cost $561 million so far. What the? Heavy Set, what would you like to start with this week?
Really want to talk about Willem
Dafoe.
All right. When Disney decided to push the release of Pixar's troubled production of The Good Dinosaur back to 2015 and also delayed the animation studio's developing sequel Finding Dory, the follow-up to the 2003 hit Finding Nemo. As audiences have assumed from the title, Ellen DeGeneres is back as the title character, the forgetful blue tang fish. And now we have word on one more returning character. In an interview with Total Film, actor William Dafoe revealed that he's already begun recording his voice work to return as Gil, the weathered and wise mentor from the fish tank in the first film. And the article writer could not be more thrilled. Now, you know, I remember seeing this movie way back in the day, so I can't really remember too much about his character, but definitely great to have William Dafoe in any kind of movie. Great supporting cast. Heavy, how do you think this movie is going to be received now that it's been 10 years? Do you think the kids of the 2003 release will be interested in seeing it? I know they're going to grab kids for sure just because it's an animated movie, but do you think they'd have that retention from the old audience?
I think Finding Nemo is one of the top Pixar movies they released that the audience is going to love it no matter what. It's very similar to when Toy Story just came back out with Toy Story 3, and there was just some, like, people, like, kids who watched it so young, I mean, become adults. I mean, they're going to be older than what the Finding Nemo crowd is going to be, but I still think there's going to be that, like, I loved this movie before, and I'm going to go see it again. I mean, I think Toy Story had a little better because it was, I seen this as a kid, and now I'm going to take my kid to see 3 in the theaters. And obviously, you're not going to exactly have that. I mean, there are teen moms out there, so that might work for them. But I kind of like, actually, I think the farther they push it back, the better. So you get some sort of reaction similar to Toy Story.
So you're thinking because of that year delay that will not affect it? Do you think the hype will wear down, or do you think it actually will help the release?
I think it will help the release because, like I said, I think it's really one of those films that a lot of people, when they've seen it, love. Like, I remember seriously watching this in high school. I remember it being a big deal because I think it was also right around the time when HD TVs were getting huge, and to watch Finding Nemo on HD was like a huge thing. And the stalling in a year, I don't think it's going to matter because it's the Finding Nemo 2, one of the highly anticipated Pixar sequels. I think this will do better than Monsters, Inc. did. Well, Monsters University did. I think it'll do better than Cars 2 did.
All right, Cart, man, what do we got for this week? What would you like to discuss?
I'm going to go with Tarantino's top 10.
In the article in the show notes, he discusses his top 10 films of the year already. There have been some movies that have not yet been released, such as American Hustle, Wolf of Wall Street, 12 Years a Slave, etc. But one particular movie that is kind of interesting on here, The Lone Ranger, Carp. What the fuck?
Yeah, I don't get that. I don't understand where that came from. There's a few that make sense. Afternoon Delight. Blue Jasmine.
Jasmine makes sense, yeah.
Conjuring was a big one. Drinking Buddies, I want to see. That movie looks pretty good. Gravity, just saw it, which, wow.
Yeah.
Even Kick-Ass 2 for a guy like Tarantino, but I'm just mind blown by his selection of The Lone Ranger. Unless he's trying to get Johnny Depp in for something maybe coming up, and he's, you know, trying to grease the wheels, as to say. But, I don't get it.
Yeah, like, I saw it. I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was movie of the year material.
Yeah, not when you're 10 best, Keith. Old school, not when you're 10 best?
At the year, no. I would say if it's on there, it's pretty low. It's barely making it,
like,
you know.
I don't know, especially with Keanu's martial arts flick, Man of Tai Chi, from what I've seen, that should be in at least place of The Lone Ranger. I've just had to see the trailer, and I'm like, yeah, this movie's going to be super awesome.
Do you think he just did it for the buzz?
I don't know. I don't get it. Yeah, like, I don't know if he's got anything in production at the moment. So, like I said, maybe he's trying to get Depp or
more like he's trying to get like backing by Bruckheimer or something like that.
Oh, God,
not necessarily.
I hope
not. Well, think about it. Why? What would Depp care? Depp doesn't even care about his own movies.
He's trying to be a hipster.
It doesn't make sense. He's working on. He's got a rumored film coming out called Badlanders, and it's like two actors I've never heard of in it. So I don't know. This is all rumor, but it's Tarantino, so you never know.
I'm trying to think, like, what, how he's thinking.
Well, his next movie is considered a Western. Maybe that's why.
Like,
is that a key
my definition
Western?
Of a Western?
Yeah.
Which,
I just, is that, it says Western Italy, so I don't know if it's a spaghetti Western. He's rumored on that, and then apparently Kill Bill Volume 3 has been in developmental hell for a while, so who knows.
All right, Kebo Trek, what's on your list for this week? What would you like to discuss?
I will discuss The Hobbit-ish.
So, yeah, the article discusses the fact that it's running a little high. I believe there's production delays. It's over budget now. It's at 561, Kev. Do you think this is going to be a monumental disaster? I know Hobbit's making money, but when you start raising the budget to like $560 million, you're really running the risk of having to make it an absolute blockbuster to make your money back.
No, honestly, at this point, it could be $800 million and it wouldn't matter. Because the first one, you got to consider, made $1 billion. The next two are probably going to each make $1 billion. You're not counting stuff like DVD sales, merchandise.
So there's no possibility for drop-off, you think?
There could be a drop-off, but it won't get to the point where they're losing money on it. Like, you figure for them to lose money, for including everything, advertising, prints, and all that, probably would have to go $1.2 billion.
But here's the interesting thing. We did, we pre-recorded an 80s retrospective on Sunday. We're looking at some of these numbers. You know, Who Framed Roger Rabbit was in the low 20s. Beverly Hills Cop is $15 million. We're talking about budgets that we're like 10 times less than the box office. And now it just seems like, oh yeah, just throw $550 million. Who cares?
No, it
just
seems
like
the
studios, it just seems like the studios don't care about budget, which I think is a monumental mistake considering the fact that you've got piracy and all this stuff going on. I think you'd figure they want to trim their budgets.
I don't think it matters for this story at all, man. It's huge. Like the Hobbit movies, each movie's made $1 billion. Like, there's no way around the financial success that these movies have made.
But also look at just like, I mean, how much that movie costs. How much would you think that movie costs? When you were showing that price made sense to me. I mean, these movies look like they cost $500 million.
It looks like he rented New Zealand. Like,
Yeah.
He's like, New Zealand, I'm going to rent you guys for a couple of months, all right?
Yeah, but you're telling me they can't rank it for like a 3,350? Why do they have to drop so much money?
At this point, it honestly doesn't matter. They would make more money if they dropped the budget, but they know they're going to make a ton of bank either way. Even if you say with prints and everything, advertising, each one costs $300 million to make, it makes $1 billion at the box office, divide that by two, you're still looking at $200 million profit before merchandising, before the home market, before anything like that.
Yeah, but Kev and Will, you're telling me, I mean, the purpose of the CEO at the studio is trying to make as much money as possible. That's his first objective. You're telling me there's no way they can run this at, say, 350 like they did the other movies and still not have a great movie?
I'll explain. Okay. I believe that the CEO gave Peter Jackson final cut and gave him a budget. I mean, obviously, he'd like a lesser budget, but at a certain point, if Peter Jackson tells him, I want to make these movies my way, and this is how much it costs, you'd have the choice of either having that movie made or not. So I believe that's more the way it is. At least because right now the director has a lot of power, which we've seen does go very bad in the past. But I think that's the one reason why these movies cost so much, because as the director has a hold on the budget at the moment.
Okay. More power. Well, now that we have you on the line, what would you like to discuss?
By all means. I'll tell you this. I find weird that Tarantino does not have Prisoners on his list. I find that really, really weird. And like not have like have that instead of freaking Lone Ranger. Because I do get...
Or Jay and Silent Bob's super groovy cartoon movie.
Does that actually... I didn't know that was out this year.
Oh, yeah.
Is that actually directed by Kevin Smith? Is it?
It's produced by Jason Mewes, so that you can tell about the quality there.
Nice. No, the deal is that... I mean, Tarantino has not seen all of this year's movies. Probably The Man of Kung Fu, he has not been able to see it yet. So I don't think it's his final list. I find it weird to put it out at this time of the year. That's one thing. So we don't really know the real thing. And two, the fact that he doesn't put Prisoners. Because, I mean, I've seen this movie. We didn't have a chance to review it last week. I wasn't around. But it's an excellent, excellent film. And I think it captures what Tarantino would like in a film. It's not ultra stylistic, but yet it has this very gritty feel that I think a man like Tarantino would really go for. So I find it weird that film like Lone Ranger is on the list. I'm sorry if I'm not coming up with anything good to say about this stuff.
No, it's all good. It's also interesting that he didn't wait till the end of the year. Like, why are you jumping the gun?
I have no clue why. Although I am more interested in Blue Jasmine now that he's got it there. Because the thing is that, see, Woody Allen is a very hit or miss guy. You'll have a film like Midnight in Paris, which is excellent, excellent, excellent. But then you'll have In Rome with Love, which is a terrible freaking film. I wish I never watched this movie. That's how bad it is. So I find it cool that this year it's a good Woody Allen movie that's out. I'm very happy about that.
I can say this about Woody Allen. It's literally, and I know I'm going to get blasted because I'm a fan of Kevin Smith.
Say it.
But it's two hours of stupid dialogue. That's all it is. That I'm uninterested in.
Isn't Kevin
Smith?
That's
why I agree.
You're wrong. Kevin Smith is 2 hours of awesome dialogue.
Yeah, then it's like, I'm so confused. I'm Woody Allen. I'm in top of relationships for 2 hours. I'm on a boat.
What are you doing, what? Cartman?
I'm a Jewish guy into little girls. Especially Asian ones.
Wow.
And the show gets Asian girls. Okay, sorry.
All right, I'm going to choose a new
guys, do you know the story, though, about Woody Allen and little girls?
Oh, God.
No.
Do we want to go down this path?
No. He adopted this Asian girl who eventually left his wife and took her instead as his girlfriend.
That's kind of creepy.
Yep.
All right, so I'm going to choose a new story and play a couple of clips from Ron Burgundy. It's the cross-promotion for Anchorman, and he's doing commercials for the Dodge Durango. It's pretty funny. I'll play a couple of them for you.
You know, a lot of people will tell you about the Dodge Durango's available Hemi V8 engine and 360 horsepower, but I'm the only one with the guts to tell you about the glove box. 0.1 cubic feet of storage, 12-volt light bulb, all in beautiful injection molded thermoplastic olefin. Comfortably fits two turkey sandwiches, six ball peen hammers, 70 packs of gums, 20 rulers. This thing goes on for inches. Starting to get the picture? Oh, yeah. This glove box I've been talking about? It comes standard. On my right is the new Dodge Durango with up to 360 horsepower. On my left is one horse. With one horsepower. That makes you feel pretty dumb, doesn't it? This thing is literally 360 times more powerful than you. Look at you. You're worthless. There you have it. 360 times better than a horse. Staring contest, go. I win.
All right, let's get into the movie review of the week. So, am I the only one on this panel who has not seen Gravity yet?
I have not seen Gravity yet.
All right, so please, no spoilers. But from what I hear, it's an excellent film.
Yes, yes it is. Very much so. Gravity is an awesome film. It's just what I'd like to say is more, I don't want to spoil anything, but I do want to say what kind of movie it is. It's the kind of movie which takes place almost in real time. Kind of like, if you remember, Phone Booth or Buried. It's one of those type of films. There was more to it. There's a lot more to it. But essentially, it's one of those kinds of films. It does last longer than the experience that you're watching it. However, not so much longer. It's very much one long action sequence about a woman and, like, the worst day of her freaking life. Like, guys, there is the rule where everything that can go wrong will... Murphy's Law. This movie is about Murphy's Law and Sandra Bullock. And George Clooney is awesome as well. My girlfriend saw it too, and she wanted me to say that even though we did also watch Prisoners, she found this to be the better film.
What would you give it on 10, Will?
Oh, you're right, on 10. I would give this a 9.5.
Wow.
Just because I don't want to give 10s. See, if I give this movie a 10, it's like, well, what do you give like this Hitchcock film? Like, it doesn't work. So I'm going to say like 9.5. And I think it deserves every bit of that. I'm looking forward to seeing what other people see. Oh, one other really cool thing is that this film actually uses the 3D element. So this is one of the first three movies I've seen in a long time because I only watched.
Is it so? It's definitely you recommend to check it out in 3D.
Yeah. It doesn't take anything away. If it will do something, it will add something to it.
Okay, awesome. Kebo Trek, you know, Sandra Bullock's already been said to be getting a nomination for this role. So a lot of good hype, a lot of good buzz. Let's get your review on this.
Yeah, I pretty much echo everything Will says. I wrote a bunch of quick notes here. I'll get through it quickly because it's all positives. The visuals were unbelievable. Like Will mentioned, it's one of those rare movies like Avatar where using the 3D really enhances the movie. And we just got some beautiful, beautiful visuals. Always a plus in a movie. The acting was superb. If Sandra Bullock doesn't get nominated for an Oscar, I'd be shocked. And I can see her winning easily for it. She just did an amazing job.
Also interesting to cut you off quick.
Go.
She was the 7th person chosen for this role. Well, like 6 people turned it down.
Which is pretty crazy. Because, I mean, I guess it is a bit of a high concept. So maybe that scared people off.
No, wait, guys. We just to be clear, they did not turn it down. The movie was 6 years in development. So people had other projects to do in the meantime. It just, the movie wouldn't take off. So you would sign on people like Angelina Jolie. And by the time that, I mean, the movie wasn't going that she had a busy schedule. So they couldn't do it. That's why.
That makes
was
sense.
She busy doing now? Adopting African babies? Like, maybe. What was she in?
If you do. No, this movie has actually been many years in the making. Because in the most part, not to detract anybody, but the film is mostly CGI. And the actors' faces are actually pasted onto the CGI. So it's not really the actors in there doing something. So they could have been taking place at certain points of time. We don't know which ones. It's just it's been a very long artistic process.
Does that take away from the movie?
No, not at all.
Okay. No, I just want to say why we wouldn't be able to pinpoint when this movie was done and why someone like Jolie couldn't do it.
It was very suspenseful. It was a thriller. It was suspenseful. And it's the kind of suspense where there's actually suspense. I'm not saying that too well.
What?
But you know, it keeps you at the edge of your seat.
Okay.
Like it really keeps you at the edge of your seat through the whole movie, which you really don't get that much anymore. Very unique concept. Last thing I'll mention is the music was fantastic for the movie. They put the right music at the right time. They played no music at the right time. And again, we've discussed this in the past where it's a movie where the music enhances the experience. So if I had to give it a rating on 10, I'm going to give it a 9.75 Spinning Spaceman on 10.
All right, Cart, let's throw this one to you. Let's get your thoughts.
It would have been so much better for my idea of Sharks in Space, but, you know, that's in production right now, so trademarked, and anybody who uses it,
yes.
I'm going to be suing. Yeah, it was a really good movie. Like Kev said, at the beginning, like there's a little like write-up that says, you know, sound can't bounce off anything, so it doesn't exist in space. So when they don't use sound, it's because of that. The apparently faces being plastered on is flawless from what I can tell. I could have done without the amount of spinning that was in 3D. Like, just 3D spinning was not my thing at some points in there. I don't understand how she didn't get her arm torn completely off her body at some points. But all in all, it was a really good flick. I give it 8 firm Sandra Bullock asses out of 10.
Oh, guys, just for the viewers out there who haven't seen this movie yet, she has these really, really short shorts. And it's just, it's very much what Karp is getting at here. One thing I did want to mention, I wanted to make maybe a quick discussion about it. One reviewer called Grace Randolph disliked this movie a lot because of a statement that Cuarón said, which was like he chose this character of the Sandra Bullock character to have her as the hero because he wanted for it to be more tense and he wanted to take away all the preconceptions of the hero character. He wanted that thrown out of the film. And she took it as a very sexist comment because, you end up having the main character be a woman. So that you're more, like your brain is not as sure that she'll make it. But the way I took it was that's not necessarily the fact that she's a woman, but the fact that unlike Clooney, she's very inexperienced in her field. Is that what you got?
Yeah, that's totally what I got. And I think that it adds suspense. And yeah, it's not because she was a woman. It's like you said, you know, because you can see right from the beginning that she wasn't super comfortable. She was like very nervous. She wasn't like Clooney's character. What's his name? I can't think of Matt. Matt Kowalski.
Matt Kazowski, Kowalski, yeah. That's right, Kowalski.
But, like, you can see right from the very beginning he was at ease in space while she, like, that nervousness was all there.
It's his last trip. I think it's his last mission. It contrasts both of them. It's his last mission. That's the first mission.
Yeah, and you can just, like, see with the, I don't want to give anything away, but the opening couple minutes when he's just having fun and, like, she's all serious. Like, you can see there is a different. It had nothing to do with man or woman.
All right, so let's get into the weekend box office for this week.
Box office.
Gravity, number one at $55.7 million. Kebo Trek, this is a good start for this film.
This is a fantastic start. And with a $100 million production budget, it's going to make a lot of profit for the studio. A couple things to note. This movie, from Friday to Saturday, gained about $6 million. Which is always a good sign, especially when movies have a big opening, a lot of them will, you know, the fanboy effect will kind of take over, where you'll see like a massive first day, like a Friday box office, and then it'll drop on a Saturday. This had a $6 million increase. So what that means is it's most likely getting good word of mouth. And when there's good word of mouth, it usually means it'll have a very low drop off from one week to the next. So we're not going to see a 60% drop off. We're probably going to see something like a 30% drop off, which will guarantee, I think this movie is going to make about $250 minimum, I'd say. And it also skews to an older audience, which is also good for its long-term potential. So I think Warner Brothers are going to make a lot of money off this.
Yeah. And I mean, all the radio stations, TV, internet, buzz is fantastic for this movie. Actually, all the buzz is going to get me to go see it on the weekend. I think I'm going to check this out.
Yeah, that's. I think it's at 98% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
So, I assume it's still maybe a bit early, but it's going to get some Oscar buzz as well, which will only help it down the road.
I'm actually online with you. Like, you heard me last week. I really wasn't feeling it. And blah blah blah. My girlfriend, we have the same mindset. And she started reading things on Rotten Tomatoes and seen a bunch of Facebook statuses of how great this movie is. And she's just like going from that whole mindset of this movie didn't look appealing to now what makes this movie so awesome that I'm not seeing. And what I do need to experience in the theater, and the 3D thing sounds to be a big thing too. And I want to say I've even heard if you can see it in IMAX 3D, definitely go check it out that way.
Yeah, I actually regret not seeing it in IMAX 3D now. So I think it's pretty much the second movie where I can say you should see this movie in 3D.
First thing Avatar?
Behind Avatar, yeah.
Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs racked in another $20.9 million. It's got a total domestic of $60 million, budget of $78 million, so well on its way to making its money back. Runner Runner debuted in third place with $7.7 million. Budget of $30 million, you know, this. I think it was just overshadowed by Gravity here, and from what I'm getting, the reviews aren't too great either. Prisoners came in at number 4 with $5.7 million. It's got a total domestic of $47 million. Rush racked in another 4.4. It's got a total domestic of 18. Don John got another $4.1 million, drop up to 52%. It's got a total domestic of 16 million. Baggage Claim, $4 million, got a total domestic of 15. Number 8, Insidious Chapter 2, got $3.8 million. Number 9, Pulling Strings, debuted with $2.4 million. And around off the top 10, Enough Said from Fox Searchlights, got a total domestic of 5.4, racked in another 2.1 this week. Let's check out upcoming movies for this week. We've got two interesting ones. First one's a Tom Hanks film called Captain Phillips. Let's play the trailer and get your thoughts.
Everything okay?
I don't like the look of that.
They're coming in fast.
This is Mask, Alabama.
We are an unarmed freighter. We have two skiffs approaching with armed intruders.
Potential piracy situation.
Copy, Alabama. You should alert your crew and get your fire hoses ready.
Is that it?
Chances are it's just fishermen.
They're not here to fish.
This is not a drill. This is a real world situation.
Can't let him attach that ladder.
130 degrees.
130 degrees.
Listen up. We have been boarded by armed pirates. If they find you, remember, you know the ship. They don't. Stick together. It will be all right.
One minute, I will kill all your friends.
If you're going to shoot somebody, shoot me.
Relax. Everything going to be okay.
Look at me.
Sure.
Look at me.
Sure.
I'm the captain now.
This looks really good. Tom Hanks, Captain Phillips, about I believe this is a true story, but just a ship at sea got raided by Somali pirates. Heavy set. Was this something you would check out?
You know what? I would love to give this a yay, but I can't, so I'm going to give it a motherfuck yay. I love Tom Hanks, and as soon as I seen the trailer for this, I immediately wanted to see it. I think it's going to be a really good movie.
Awesome. Hey, Will, let's get your thoughts on this. Is something on your radar?
Not for the movies, maybe for video. And before we're talking about The Simpsons, doesn't he sound like Mayor Quimby in the trailer? He sounds like Mayor Quimby. Like, get down in the water. Sounds like Mayor Quimby to me.
Sounds like Peter from Family Guy.
But yeah, he has a Bostonian accent as well. But to me, it was more like Mayor Quimby. I just can't do the voice very well.
Cabo Trek, is this something you want to check out?
At best, I think for me, it would be
rental.
Yeah, on rental.
Yeah, rental, Kevo. Me, you. We're going to rent it together.
Carp, is this something you want to check out, buddy?
Maybe on DVD as well.
Really? Okay. No,
it's the other one that's coming out this weekend that I really want to see.
Yes. Speaking of the other one, this is Machete Kills. This looks pretty crazy. I'm going to play the trailer and start with Carp when we get back.
This is the president.
Mr. President, we have a situation.
He was trained to kill.
CIA, FBI, DEA all roll up in the war.
Then left for dead.
I know what they did to your family.
And now he's back.
Machete.
For his most dangerous mission yet.
We need you, Machete. There's a revolutionary south of the border. He's got a missile aimed at Washington.
Noah had his arc. I got mine.
Machete, go kick some ass.
I'll be your handler. You ready for this? Good for calls, texts, tweets.
Watch it, they don't tweet.
The enemy may have a missile, but we have Machete.
Machete kills. That's what he does.
You can't beat my army of super soldiers.
Bring me my double Ds.
You've seen my face.
Muy bien, indeed. I smell fish taco.
Let's do this.
You can't beat me. No! Because I know your every move.
Nobody knows Machete.
Machete kills.
Damn, you're good.
Starring Danny Trejo, Michelle Rodriguez, Sofia Vergara, Amber Heard, Carlos Estevez, Lady Gaga, Antonio Banderas, Jessica Alba, Vanessa Hutchins, Cuba Gooding Jr., holy, Mel Gibson.
Keep
as
going.
The,
keep going.
Yeah, God. This looks insane, man.
Well, this looks. You got to think of it. The first movie was made from a trailer that was for the Grindhouse flicks.
Yep.
So this movie, it looks awesome. I love the first one. First one was Machete Don't Text. Now it's Machete Don't Tweet. So that should be pretty awesome. Yeah.
Machete Don't Instagram.
Mel Gibson is the bad guy. Really looking forward to that.
It's a precursor to Expendables 3, plus, which is cool.
Plus his bad guy click with Lady Gaga, Sofia Vergara with her machine gun boobs. So, I mean, this is you know, ultraviolent Rodriguez at its best, Grindhouse style.
Yeah, Kebo Trek, is something you want to check out?
I've never seen the first one, so I'd have to see that before.
But I mean the cast, Kev, it's got intriguing.
It is, but this is generally not my type of movie. Maybe if they put in Mila, I would make it a bit different.
God.
They put in Alexa Vega.
Please, they did. Oh, and she grew up, and now she grew up everywhere, interestingly enough.
Will, you want to check this out?
Oh, yeah, I want to check her. I mean, I want to check this out, yeah.
I mean, just the eye candy alone.
No, but what's fun about this movie is, as Carb said, it was first just a trailer and ended up being, you know, a movie. So the trailer, I guess, promised the film, but now we have the film. And at the end of the movie ends with, like, you'll see Machete again in Machete Kills and Machete Kills again. And you know what? We have Machete Kills. So it's like, even if it was supposed to be a joke all along, it turns out that, like, years in the future, people will be like, oh my god, like, it all worked out. There was a Machete trailer, Machete movie, and then there was the movies that followed it. Apparently the third one is also Machete Goes to Space, so we'll see how that turns out.
With sharks.
With sharks.
Hey, trademark, motherfucker, trademark.
Trademark, motherfucker.
Watch them do it, and Carp will be penniless, going, no.
I just have to find a lawyer, and he's got to be good.
Did I just hear you go, like,
no one's
going to
get that joke.
Yeah, Keith gets it.
Who's Keith? Heavy.
Who's Keith?
What would you like to discuss? Heavy, you want to check this out, man?
I don't know. I haven't seen the first one. No, actually, I haven't seen the first one, but it is on my list because I love Low Hanging Boobies, and I still want to see it. And I think this one looks really good, too, and I want to watch both of them. So, double yay for me.
Double motherfucking yay. Let's check out DVDs for this week.
DVD release.
Kebo Trek, what's out this week, buddy?
We have a couple big releases out this week, as well as a couple box sets on Blu-ray. First big release is the nepotism film After Earth, starring...
And this is, this is something that got avoided in the theaters by all of us, but just throw this quickly to the panel. Would you check this out on DVD or download?
No.
Nope. I'd probably have to be forced to watch it.
Wow.
And this is my kind of movie. Like, this is the kind of sci-fi dystopian kind of thing I love. But
yeah, where a kid's the main character, right, Kepo?
Yeah. But just the special effects look terrible. I don't want to see the Smiths in another movie together. It doesn't work.
Plus, if you listen to Jaden Smith, babies are the most intelligent things on the planet if they knew how to talk. And you shouldn't go to high school because it would make you smarter.
That's right. So. That you shouldn't go to high school.
Yeah. Jeez. That's Jaden Smith right there, buddy.
Oh, there you go. The other big movie is probably something that, again, that didn't need to get made. The Hangover Part 3. I think I'm pretty much the only one who hasn't seen it.
No, I haven't seen it either.
And do you want to see it?
Based on Will saying, do not fucking see this. So.
Do not fucking see this movie, guys. It sucks.
You gotta see it to close out the trilogy, in my opinion.
I didn't watch the second one. Screw it. No,
same here.
It's not that it's a bad movie. It's that it's not the movie you think you're promised. It's not a comedy. It's a heist movie with some comedic elements by Zach Galifianakis.
It's not that it's a bad movie. It's just not a good movie.
Yeah, it's also not what you expect.
It's just not needed.
That's not needed at all.
Else?
And we have a couple big Blu-ray box sets. One that I think you'll be very interested. Actually, no, forget that. We have one big box set. It's Chucky, the complete collection.
Is this some you want to get, Kurt?
Well, I already have all five films, but this also has Curse of Chucky, which I saw at Fantasia, which was a great movie. It stepped a little bit away from the black comedy it used to be with Bride and Seed, and it got back to the old school, like, you know, think the doll's alive, but you're not sure, and it brought back the old school horror. And like the director said when he asked us when we saw the premiere, please don't ruin anything for the people who want to see it. So I'm not going to. And there's also coming out this week the Kevmas Europa Report. If you've seen the trailer, this movie looks pretty
awesome. You mean
awesome.
That's what Gravity wanted to do? It's what... No, Europa Report.
Don't you mean Europa Report?
Europa. Nice reference.
It's found footage. It's found footage, Gravity. Wait, but before we go on to that, Carp, I want to know, talking about dolls coming alive. There was a series of films that I just learned of called, I believe, it's called The Doll Maker or The Dolls, where the main character is called Blade, and they're just called The Puppet Master.
That's Puppet Master.
Puppet Master, sorry.
Yeah, I've got all 10. Films?
Are they good?
If you like old school horror, you'll like it. So,
oh, I was just wondering, because I mean, it sounds dumb.
The first one was 89. The problem with the Puppet Masters is there's 10 movies, but they don't follow any chronological order whatsoever. So you have to, like, basically buy all 10 and then go on Wikipedia and follow what the 10 order should be.
But does it really matter, though?
Yes and no. It depends. I mean, as I watched the first one when I was, like, maybe 15. So I watched 1 through 5, and then for a while I didn't see any, and then I finally seen the rest, and it makes a lot more sense storyline wise if you watch them the way they were supposed to be created chronologically.
And are they buried in Chucky?
No.
Okay.
All right, check out Netflix for this week.
This week in Netflix.
American side, we've got Walking Dead Season 3, Mindless Behavior, and The Fosters. On the Canadian side, same Walking Dead Season 3. We actually get something at the same time. Interesting. We also got Scary Movie 2 and Conan the Barbarian. All right, let's check out Carp's Bargain Bin.
I love sluts, I love whores, I love tramps, I love skinheads, I love sluts, I love sluts.
Carp, we got Osambi. What the fuck is that?
Yeah, Osambi. I'll just use IMDb's plot summary. The story follows Dusty, a yoga instructor from Colorado, who's on a desperate rescue mission to save her crazy brother, Derek, a conspiracy theorist who's convinced Osama bin Laden is still alive, despite having been buried at sea. In Afghanistan, Dusty falls in with a team of NATO special forces on secret assignment. Turns out Derek is not so crazy after all, and that Osama has returned from his watery grave and is making an army of zombie terrorists. When the group crashes headlong into the growing zombie apocalypse, Dusty and the troops must find and destroy the root of the zombie insurgency before it infests the rest of the world. This was hilarious. The zombie makeup was on the level of The Walking Dead, which really impressed me. The headshots, although some were CGI, looked really good as well. It's got some, I guess, some cliches. You have a blonde tomboy soldier who does a samurai sword training montage. You have a soldier who comes out as gay at one point. Let's see. There's the crazy brother who's actually pretty crazy, even though he's like a good guy at some points. Yeah, it was actually pretty good in the end. It's definitely a 7.5 Ozombie bin Laden's out of 10.
Awesome. All right, let's close the show with plugs and final thoughts. We'll start with you, Carp.
StableWars.com. We're always looking for new members, and happy Oktoberfest, everyone.
And happy Thanksgiving for all the Canucks. Kebo Trek, final thoughts.
Go check out Gravity. It's a fantastic movie.
Will, let's get your plugs and final thoughts.
Oh, plugs. Guys, guess what? There's a ton of plugs now. I'm actually...
Hey, he's got a plug.
I got a whole bunch of plugs, guys. Okay, so comic books, ftw.com. Well, there we've got a few reviews already. We already have the review for the very first issue of X-Men, created by Stan Lee. We also have an interview with Jessica Nigri, who, if you don't like her yet, just look up Jessica Nigri online, and I'm sure you'll like her after that.
Cosplay chick, right?
Yeah, that's right. And also, if you just want to know about what cosplay is, what that entails, please watch it. And there's also two awesome articles by me, so check that out. One of them is how to get into comics in general. And one of them is how to get into Spider-Man. And I do have one final thought. I just really want to bring this out there. There's someone I've been, a friend of mine, like a friend in parentheses, has been writing to me on Facebook, and someone blocked him because this guy was being annoying. And he's writing me like, hey, what's this guy up to? Well, you know, why can't I see him? I told him, you know what, you sound kind of stalkerish. And he replied, what one sees as stalkerish, I see as being curious. So the next time that you're out there spying on your neighbor and they come out, just tell them that line.
That's bullshit, you're a stalker.
That's what I was like, dude.
All right, heavy set. Let's get your plugs and final thoughts.
Well, like always, www.kayfabesports.com. And got the same old shows, NFL Easy Picks, Ohio Windy Report.
We're 3-2, baby.
Go Canada.
I finally picked up my first win in the fantasy league. But one thing that we're trying to do, we're talking about after football, bringing back show Anything Goes. But before Anything Goes was under a
different... CFL Easy Picks?
Jesus, no, almost done, dude.
But basically, like, we want to bring it back, but under a different format. Before, it was this random call show where, we would just do whatever. We had no format, really. It's just, we prank call people sometimes. Sometimes we bullshit about this, bullshit about that. But we're thinking about bringing it back, and we're thinking about making it about wrestling and having it once a month. That's one thing going on. And another thing that what I'm thinking about doing, I'm looking to get any type of feedback with this. I'm thinking about creating a spinoff show for the Ohio Indy Report. But what I want to do is sit down with some actually fairly known local wrestlers, and like maybe talked with them about anything I can of what they do and all these different wrestling, but at the same time, like, just bullshit. Like, I know one of the first guys that I want to bring on, his name's Gregory Iron. Look, if you don't know who he is, look him up. But I know there's a lot more to him than just wrestling and his interests. I know me and him, we butt heads on Ghostbusters 1 and 2, of which one's better. And I thought it'd be cool to like maybe even like bring that up. And that's like the whole new concept of the show that I want to do, is like, we'll talk a little bit about wrestling, but then talk about whatever. Just throwing it out there. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Check him out, www.kfabesports.com, correct?
That would be correct.
That's correct.
Hey, guys, I got a question. Wait, so I don't know much. Fantasy football, is that like a bunch of wizards playing football? Is that it? No.
Wow, you deserve to be hit in the head with a frying pan.
Can you just block him from this podcast, please?
You know what? It's not stalking. It's just curiosity. All right, let's end this show with, this is a little cartoon I checked that's pretty funny. It's all these vignettes of Superman and Batman just at like a coffee shop talking smack. And this one is actually them, but also how the Dark Knight should have ended. Will might like this one. All right, I'm going to play this one, close the show on that.
So I just lifted the entire island out of the ocean and I was about to throw it in outer space.
Stop talking! It's my turn now.
Well, it is about time. Wait, is that your new stage voice?
Yeah. What about it?
Well, I mean, are you like gargling marbles or something? I could barely understand it.
How about a magic trick? I'm gonna make this pencil disappear. Ta-da! It's gone.
That wasn't a magic trick. I saw the pencil just went up into his eye. This is lame.
Let her go.
Very poor choice of words.
Rachel! I got you. You alright?
I'm okay. I don't know how, though. We completely smashed this car. So you're gonna go back up there and catch the Joker?
Nah, I'm sure everything's fine.
Come on. I want you to go. Come on, hit me. Come on. I want you to. Come on, hit me.
No!
Hit me. Whammo.
Whoa, hold on a second. You hit him?
Yep.
You hit the Joker.
Uh-huh.
You ran over a human being.
Sure did.
But what about your rule?
Didn't kill him.
You want to know how I got these scars? From Batman?
From Batman. Hey, he said he wanted me to do it.
You, sir, are bold. I'll bet Gotham loves you now.
Well, turns out the Joker already had this unbeatable plan. A lot of people died, and now the city hates me.
What? They hate you? How is this a good story?
It's because I'm the hero Gotham deserves, but not the one it needs. It's complicated, but it's pretty awesome when you think about it.
Yeah, I don't know what any of that means. But dude, you know what I would have done?
Oh, I don't know. Probably just fly really fast,
saving everyone from the bullets and explosions. Exactly.
Yeah, well, I can't do all those things. Because I'm not a super bulletproof alien from another planet that can defy gravity. But you know what I can do?
What's that?
Make an incredibly awesome movie. Do you know why?
Because you're Batman.
Because I'm Batman!
Alright, that's awesome.
I did like that a lot.
That sounded like Sandberg's Batman.
Because I'm Batman!
What's up? It is Heavy Set, and I'm here to tell you about Kayfabe Sports Radio, the home of the Ohio Indy Report and NFL Easy Picks. On the Ohio Indy Report, I break down what's going on in the Cleveland scene of independent wrestling, from AIW to Prime Wrestling, and some of the little organizations in between that I can attend. And if you also like NFL football, be sure to check out NFL Easy Picks, hosted by myself and my good friend Joe Bennett, as we break down and talk about what is going on in football, and we make our picks on the coming week's games. And all this can be found at www.kfabesports.com. You can also find us on iTunes by searching Kayfabe Sports Radio. And while you're at kfabesports.com, be sure to check out the links for Kayfabe Sports Radio, Ohio Indy Report, and NFL Easy Picks on Facebook and Twitter. So for now, be sure to check out the Ohio Indy Report and NFL Easy Picks on Kayfabe Sports Radio, where it's all a work.
Knowledge. Breaking down the week's news and rumors. The Spanish Announce Table.
TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
Defoe!
William Defoe! Motherfucker! The animation studio's developing sequel Finding Dory, the follow-up to the 2013 hit Finding Nemo. I shouldn't have continued that. The follow-up to the 20... Yeah, them say, I'm so confused. I'm Woody Allen. I'm in a relationship for 2 hours. I'm on a boat.
What are you doing, Cartman?
I'm a Jewish guy into little girls. Yeah.
Chetty don't Instagram.